We'll give the future church a minute to get out of the sanctuary here. They're a loud group, but you know what? Love each and every one of them. They're the future that we've got, future that the Lord has entrusted us with. And it's a great honor, you know, to be entrusted with those kids. And well, give them another second. Okay. All right. How's everybody doing? Y'all doing good? Good. It's a good day, right? It's a good day. Because you're on what? This side of the dirt. You've got breath in your lungs. Because God has a purpose for you. He has given you another day because you're important. Somebody needs you. You're important. And, you know, we've been talking about all kinds of different stuff the last couple of weeks. You know, a lot of foundation things. And some of them have been, interesting. You know, making sure you, you check yourself before you wreck yourself. That one's for Kayla. But, you know, we've been talking about all different things, and I was thinking, you know, what to shift to next. And, you know, I, just like the Lord works in mysterious ways, well, so does my mind. But, no, I was thinking, and I came across an idea. Y'all remember, they're real popular. It was back several years ago. It was a set of books. They were yellow and black, and they were The Dummy's Guide to Whatever. Y'all remember those? And they had them for everything. You know, The Dummy's Guide to Plumbing, The Dummy's Guide to Baseball, and, you know, just all these simplified guides to try to teach you something that you didn't know. And tonight, I want to talk about that. But I want to look at The Dummy's Guide to Wisdom. Wisdom for Dummies. Wisdom. Wisdom. I've been thinking about that. Because, you know, unfortunately, in the world we live in, wisdom is sorely lacking. You know, wisdom is lacking. But I was, looking at these and wisdom for Dummies. Now, I want to say I'm not calling anyone here a dummy. I want to get that out of the way so nobody gets offended and I get a text message later how I've offended somebody. I'm not calling anyone a dummy. Just, it's a fun and easy way to do something like a pro. Wisdom like a pro. Ooh, that's good. I want to talk about wisdom. And where can we go for wisdom? Where's the number one place we can go? Proverbs. That's, yeah, good. The Word of God. And wisdom is an important thing. And I was begin to read the Bible, and I came across an account in the Bible in 2 Chronicles. I want to check it out real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, starting in verse 7. Now before we start reading, I want to give you a little background of what's going on here. So 2 Chronicles 1 and 7. We're picking up the story of Solomon. Okay? Solomon, for all those that don't know, is David's son, King David's son. King David was the king. You know, Saul was the first king, then it was King David. And, David became king. And one of the first things that he wanted to do was to rebuild the temple of God. Okay? But God said, no. It's the craziest thing. God told him, no, David, you cannot build the temple because I anointed you as a warrior, and you have too much blood on your hands to build my temple. But your son, Solomon, he will rebuild the temple. Okay? So David, during his reign, began to gather the stuff up to build the temple. And then when Solomon came along, he took those items, and he built the temple. Okay? Notice how one generation built onto another one. Now, so Solomon, we pick this up, this story. He had just rebuilt the temple. was the largest, most beautiful temple. And he had this big celebration of consecrating the temple. And, you know, the glory of God come down in this temple. And the Lord was pleased. What Solomon did pleased God. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. It says this, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "That night, God appeared to Solomon and said, 'What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you.'" So God was pleased with Solomon, and he comes to him directly, face to face, and says, "What do you want? You have pleased me so much that I want to give you your heart's desire." Okay? Verse 8, it says, "Solomon replied to God, 'You showed faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in this place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth.'" Okay, he's saying, so far he's saying, you blessed David, continue that blessing in me. Because you've blessed me with a people, a group of people that are so numerous, are more numerous than the dust of the earth. So there's a lot of people that he's in charge of. Verse 10, Solomon says to God, he says, "Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly, for who could possibly govern these great people of yours?" He asks him, when God said, "What is your heart's desire?" He said, "Give me wisdom and knowledge." See, he could have asked for anything in the whole world because God showed up and said, "I'm going to give you whatever your heart desires." And what does he say? "I want wisdom. I want knowledge." See, the thing is, wisdom. He says, "I want wisdom and knowledge." See, they're two different things. Knowledge is information, right? Knowledge is facts, you know, information, things in books, you know. God has put in us an innate thing that we want to obtain information, right? Learning. From the day we arrive on the planet, we're always learning. We're learning something, right? From the smallest baby to the oldest person, every day we're learning something new, right? So that's knowledge. Knowledge, retaining knowledge. But see, he says, "Give me knowledge and give me wisdom." See, the difference between knowledge and wisdom is knowledge is facts and information, but wisdom is how to use that information for a purpose. See, that's the thing. Knowledge is the ability to make right choices at the opportune time. That's what knowledge is. Or that's what wisdom is, I'm sorry. Wisdom is the consistency of making the right choices. You know, consistently making the right choices is a mark of maturity and development in a person. Because, you know, you can have all of the knowledge in the world, but have no wisdom. So you can have one and not the other. So we all know it's the type of people that, you know, have all the book smart in the world, but they have no street smart. You know any of those people? Yeah. See, you can have all of the knowledge in the world and still be an idiot. Because you don't have the wisdom. You don't have the ability to apply that knowledge. Because you can have one without the other. And unfortunately, many people have one without the other. You know, if we look at people that we've elected into office, right? There's a lot of smart people, right? But they're a bunch of idiots. Some of the ideas that they come up with, right? They don't know how to lead. They have all the knowledge in the world, but no wisdom to apply that knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Wisdom is important. Walking, and even more important, is walking in godly wisdom. You ever met somebody that's wise beyond their years? You ever said that? You ever seen anybody like that? Someone that's wise beyond their years, what that usually means is they think ahead. They think outside of their self. See, that's part of wisdom. Wisdom. That's the key that I want to talk about, is wisdom. So Solomon says, I want wisdom and knowledge. So then in verse 11, God responds and he says, God said to Solomon, because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies, or a long life. Hallelujah. See, because you didn't ask for wealth, riches, fame, the death of your enemies, you know, because he didn't ask for those things, but rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people. Verse 12, it says, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested, but I will also give you the wealth, the riches, and the fame, such as no other king has had before you or ever will have in the future. See, Solomon said, I want wisdom, and God said, I will give you that plus some. See, that's the thing about wisdom. Godly wisdom is when we're going after the things of God, God says, I will give you that plus the things you didn't ask for. See, he'll give you riches. It says there, wealth, fame, as such that no other king before you or ever will be. I'll give you more than all of that. You know, thousands of years later, we talk about Solomon being the wisest king. You know, even people that are atheists still recognize that Solomon was wise through some of the different teachings. They look at it. See, God blessed him throughout the generations because what he asked for was in line with what God wanted. He didn't ask for riches because it's easy to ask for that. You know, I'm not going to lie. If God said, hey, I'm going to give you whatever you want. God, I want this, this, and I got a list of 5 or 16 people that I want you to smite for me. You know, come on, be honest. If we're honest, we've all got a list of people we would like to see, you know, run over by a bus. Maybe. Maybe 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 4, 16, whatever. But see, Solomon was asking for knowledge and wisdom. He wanted all of the knowledge and the wisdom to apply it to lead the people. And see, that's what it's all about. God's saying, I will give you that. If you seek wisdom, the wisdom of God, all of the other things will fall into line. God will bless you with the other things. See, many times we ask for the other things first. You know, we ask for the wealth, the fame, the smiting of our enemies first before we ask for God's wisdom in the situation. And see, that's the thing. When we seek the other things, God says, seek me. Seek me first, not the other things. Because if you seek him first, all those other things will be added unto you. See what happens. We see it over and over. When people get fame and fortune before their time, we see it's really bad in, you know, people that become famous out of nowhere. Like, I don't know, who's a good one? Kim Kardashian's an idiot. We won't talk about her. Hey, I know. But there's people, there's athletes. It happens a lot with athletes. You've got, you know, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, or 20, 23-year-olds that are making millions of dollars, and they have all this money but no wisdom to use that money. And see, many times we ask for things that are beyond the scope that we can handle. And that's what wisdom is all about. Because wealth without wisdom will destroy you. I mean, countless actors and actresses, you know, we see it. One of my favorite actors ever is Heath Ledger. You know, we saw the destruction that came in his life because he got famous and had all this money, but no wisdom to do with it in a constructive way. He wrecked himself because he didn't check himself. He didn't have the wisdom to check himself. And see, we see it over and over and over. Wealth and fame without wisdom will destroy you. Wealth at a young age and no wisdom to manage it will kill you. But see, God's here saying, seek wisdom. Seek God first and only care about what God thinks more than anything else. And God will elevate you and add those things back to you. The things you didn't even ask for, because you'll be prepared to handle them. Because wisdom is the most important thing, and it's sorely lacking. Proverbs 3:13 through 18, it says this, joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire compares to her. Nothing that we desire can compare to having wisdom. See, it's more precious than all of these things. More precious than gold and silver. Having the ability to have wisdom, to discern things, to know which way God wants you to go. That's all in wisdom. That's all in godly wisdom. And it goes on to say, wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand, and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths, and her and all her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. Happy are those that hold on to wisdom. Because wisdom is a tree of life. Because the more wisdom that you have, the more life you're going to have. And what this is saying is here, stop chasing after the gold and the silver. Stop chasing after stuff and chase after the things of God. Because that's where life is found, in the things of God, not in the things of the world. Because as we talked about before, you know, we chase things, we chase happiness. And when we catch it, we're no better off. See, when we chase these things and we finally catch them, we've wasted an entire life to get something. Because no one at the end of their life says, I wish I had another dollar. I wish I would have worked another hour. What does everyone always say? I wish I would have spent more time with my family. See, wisdom is knowing the difference of what to chase and when to chase it. Hopefully you guys are getting some of this. Think about it. See, the question is then, where does wisdom come from? Where can we find wisdom? In Proverbs 9:10, it gives us the answer. You'll throw it up there for me. Proverbs 9:10. It says, "What fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom." Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. It says, fear of the Lord. Now think about that. Fear of the Lord. When you study that out in the old Hebrew, you know what it says? It says, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. It says it very plainly. You know, when you say the word fear, what do most people think? Something scary, right? When you look at that and you say the fear of the Lord, it's not saying being afraid of God. God's not a scary thing. He's not an axe murderer waiting behind the shower curtain to stab you. Okay? He's not lurking in the background to kill you. See, the fear that it's talking about here is not fear, as we would normally think it. It's talking about awe, being in awe of the greatness of God. That's what it's talking about. Having an awe of the greatness of God, how amazing God is, how big God is. That's what it's talking about. The foundation of wisdom is recognizing how big God is, having an awe and a reverence for him. Not a fear that he's going to kill us, but just an amazing, just, have you ever looked out at the ocean? Have you ever been on a beach and just looked out at the ocean just to see how far the water goes and how small you are in relation to that? That's us with God. When you begin to look at him with an awe, with a reverence of God, It's like bringing it a little closer to home because, you know, we live in Arkansas. You go to Mount Magazine, right? Go to the highest point. Well, not just below that. There's an overlook, right? You ever went up there? Anybody? Up at the lodge there, they've got a spot that just overlooks the entire valley, right? And it's, and you sit there. If you sit there long enough, you can see out. And you begin to see the majesty that is God. The amazingness that He would create such a world for us. And see, that's the foundation of wisdom, is realizing the awesome beauty that is God. And just how much grace and how much love He has for us. And this, see, that's the thing. That's where wisdom starts, is that awe and wonder of God. That's the foundation. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. See, wisdom results in good judgment. There's a lot of people I know that needs good judgment, right? Anybody need good judgment? I know I do. I need it. See, fear the Lord. Remembering how big He is. So how do we get that awe? How do we remember those things? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. All right? One of the ways that we can do that is to see God and invite His engagement into every part of our life. See, if you want to get anywhere in life, God's got to be the center of it. And you know, you got to invite Him in. Because many times we forget about that. We push God to the side and say, I'll get to you when I need you, God. But in order to obtain that wisdom, you got to say, God, everything I have is yours. I'm giving it to you and not just picking you up on Sunday or picking you up on Wednesday or picking you up when I need you, when something's going wrong. See, that's how we get it. We recognize that God is at work in our lives, even if you don't see it. Even if you don't see it. You ever gone through a trial and you think you're by yourself? You're looking and you're like, God, where are you? God's there the whole time. He's there the whole time, even if you don't see Him. And many times when we cry out to God and say, God, take this issue away from me, and He doesn't. Have you ever had that? I'm going through one of those right now. Say, God, take this away from me. And you wake up and it's still there. The issue's still there. Sometimes God wants to change our heart. Instead of saying, take it away from me, guide me through it. What can I learn through this situation? Because if God delivered us from every little thing, we would never learn. We would never learn the things of Him. You know, if He delivered you and you didn't learn a lesson, where are you? You're just as dumb as when you started. Right? See, many times, God wants us to show us something, a lesson to learn. But we spend all of our time crying out to God saying, why won't you take this? And He's saying, why won't you shut up and listen? Let me guide you through this. Because if you learn this lesson, you don't have to keep repeating it. You ever had that? God's trying to teach you a lesson and just keep the same situation, keep going over and over. Because He wants you to learn something. And you're going to have to keep taking the test again if you keep failing it. But part of wisdom is recognizing, God, Your hand is here. I'm going to put myself out and put You in the center. I'm going to be in awe of all of your ways, all of the ways that you showed up. In Psalm 16:8, it says, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. See, when you remember that, I will not be shaken. No matter what comes my way, I will not be shaken. Because why? He's right beside me, even when I don't see him. Now, the next thing is to know that every word and every action that we do has a consequence. I want you to think about that. Every word and every action that we have, that we do, and we say, has a consequence. So you can either speak life over your situation and over yourself, or you can speak death. Too many times we chose to speak death. We complain about our job. You know, have you ever done that? Like, God, I don't want to go to work. But instead, wisdom says, thank you for giving me that job. Wisdom says, who can I touch at my job? See, that's the difference. Many times we complain about ourselves and our situations when God has given us those very things. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Verse 8, it says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Okay? What you sow is what you're going to reap. If you're always out here saying, I'm going to get mine, or I'm going to get somebody before they get me, I see you laughing. But see, if that's all you're sowing and putting into the world, that's not wisdom. And what does it say there? You're going to reap a harvest of decay, of death and destruction. That's all you're worried about. See, the question is, what have you sown? You know, many times we complain, God, I'm broke. I mean, I haven't tithed in 3 weeks or given any money to the church. But God, why am I broke? God, my kids are idiots. Why won't they serve you? When's the last time you brought them to church? See, many times we sow bad things in our lives and we wonder why God doesn't show up. We sow death and destruction into our own lives. And we say, God, what happened? God looks at us and says, hey, stupid. You did it. You did it. That's the opposite of wisdom. Self-control. You know? Because knowing every word that you say, you're going to have to reap at some point. Stop saying bad words. Stop speaking forth death into your life and other people's lives. Right? Now, number 3. This is a big one. Have respect of evil and the destructive nature of the devil. Okay? Have a healthy respect of evil and the destructive nature of the devil. See, the enemy is real. In John 10:10, it says what? The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. See, we face an enemy that wants to destroy our marriages, our relationships, our children, and our family, and our lives. We face this. But wisdom is knowing your enemy and how to defeat him. You know, I'm a big fan of baseball. One of the things that, or even football, they do it too in football, is when you're getting ready for a game, You don't just show up to the field. You prepare ahead of time, right? They're always watching tape. They know their enemy. They know their tendencies. See, wisdom saying, there's a devil, and I know he's out to get me. So how do I stop him first? Because the enemy wants to destroy truth. The only truth that we have is God's truth. Have a respect for evil. You ain't got to like it. We're going to fight against it. But know there really is an enemy. Know that there's an enemy trying to trip us up. See, that's part of wisdom. Know your enemy and how to defeat him. And the last thing is this right here. So trust God and spend time with him. Psalm 91. Anybody know Psalm 91? It says this, he that dwelleth, where? In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. See, it says there, to dwell in the secret place. Dwell in the quiet place. Because that's where you're going to hear God's voice. Because part of wisdom is being able to hear God. Right? And we fill our lives with so much noise that many times it's hard to hear God. But see here, in this verse, it's telling us, dwell in the secret place, in the quiet place. Strip things away so you can hear God. Because, you know, like I said, we fill our lives. You know, we're always, you know, TV, music. Do you know that if you can't sleep, what do? They got noisemakers. So you can't sleep. You add more noise to your life. You know, they've got this white noise and this stuff called brown noise. It's the craziest thing. It's just real deep stuff. Kelly listens to it all night. It's supposed to help you sleep and get you in this mood. But see, we throw so much noise into our lives that we can't hear God. Right? And here it's saying, dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Get into a place where you can hear his voice. Look for God's safety and rest in the storm. Because he's our safe refuge and our fortress. And in him will I trust. See, we're talking about the beginnings of wisdom. And that's something I want us all to have, is wisdom. You can have all the knowledge in the world and still be an idiot. I want you to remember that. You can have all the knowledge in the world and still be an idiot, still chasing after the same things over and over and not getting anywhere. But God calls us to something better. God calls us to a godly wisdom. And he's shown us and called us that if you seek him first, everything else will take care of itself. If you seek ye first what? The kingdom of God, then all of those things will be added unto you. See, that's the challenge I want to have for y'all. Is get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Because without wisdom, we're lost. Without the things of God, there's no point. So think about it. I want to encourage you. Spend some time with God this week. In a secret place. With just you and him. So you can hear his voice. And the most important thing I want you all to do this week is to find someone to love. Love someone else. Because that's the common theme of all of this. Love someone else. Because if we love more people, there more people will come in. Love them even if you hate them. I mean, I got family too. Love them if you hate them, even if they're your worst enemy. Find a way to love them. Because it'll throw them off and maybe God will do something with them. So anyway, we'll end it off with this. If you bow your heads, we'll say, Jesus, thank you for showing up today. And I ask that you would give us godly wisdom in all the things that we say and all the things that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.